Boker Tov, welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim on Daf Yomi. We are now on Ketubot Daf Lamed Tet Amud Aleph at the Mishnah, which is Mishnah Dalet, and Mishnah Dalet and Mishnah Hey are presented together on this page or in this Mishnah, and they detail the distinction between Onas and Mefateh. Mefateh noten shlosha dvarim. Keep in mind that anyone who causes battery to another person, another Jew, becomes obligated to pay five types of payment. They are nezek, which is the physical damage to the person, should we say the loss of his value, shevet, which is loss of wages because of unable to work, ripui, which is medical costs, boshet, which is the shame, and sa'ar, which is the pain caused. And in Bava Kamma, the 8th parak, all of those are detailed, how they're measured, etc. Now, HaMefateh noten shlosha dvarim. The Mefateh has to pay three kinds of payments. Va'ones arba'ah. An ones has to pay a fourth. HaMefateh noten boshet ufgam uknas. The Mefateh has to pay boshet, which we already detailed. Pgam, which is another form of nezek. It is the actual financial, capital loss in the value of this girl. From being a betula to being a be'ula. And the knas. Mosif alav ones shenoten et atzar. The ones has to also pay a fourth payment, which is tzar. The assumption of the Mishnah being that when someone commits an act of ones, the girl experiences tzar, which is not the case in the case of Mefateh, seduction. Now, ma ben ones to Mefateh, this is a general statement. Ha ones noten tzar, Mefateh noten tzar. We just said that, that only ones has to pay tzar. What's another difference? The ones has to pay the 50 shekel immediately and then marry her. The Mefateh only pays that when he divorces her. Now, we'll talk about what that means, because he is not allowed to divorce her once he marries her. So we'll clarify what the meaning of that statement is. Ha'ones shoteh ba'atzitzo. Literally, the ones is forced to drink his own cup. And the Mefateh may divorce her. Now, that again has to be clarified. And its meaning is a little inexact in the words. That's Mishnah Dalet. Mishnah Hey continues, Ketzad Shoteh Ba'atzitzo. What does it mean that he is forced to drink his own cup? Afilu Hichigeret, Afilu Hisuma, even if she is lame, if she's blind, Afilu Himukachchin, even if she's afflicted with boils, nonetheless he has to marry her. He cannot refuse once he has been ones this Na'ara Betula. He must marry her and pay the Knas. Now, Nimtzah Ba Dvar Erva, but if it turns out that there was some sort of an erva related to her, and we'll see in a second what that means. Or she's one of that whole group, like the first group that we had in the first Mishnah, that somebody you're not allowed to marry. Then, and or shai lekamai, then he does not marry her. Shenemar veloti elisha, the pasuk says veloti elisha, meaning isha ru yalo. And we're taking Rabbi Shimon Manasseh's take on that, but not necessarily. Rav Shimon Asya applied that to payment of knas. As we established in our Mishneot, you will pay the knas even to a girl you can't marry, but you certainly do not marry her, and then we're going to ask the same question we asked in Masachet Yevamot, which is why it is that the assay of marrying her, Veloti Elisha, does not trump whatever the local lot assay is like Mamzeret. All right, so we'll see that. In any case, the first thing the Gemara asks is about Tsa'ar, and that is Tsa'ar Demai. So the first question the Gemara asks, Tsa'ar Demai, Amar Avuah d'Shmuel, Tsa'ar Shechavtal Gabe Karka, the pain that was caused when he threw her to the ground to rape her. So Matkev Zabizera, Elamiata, Chavtal Gabe Shirain, what if he threw her onto a silk bed? So then he doesn't have to pay tsar. Our Mishnah did not make such a distinction. In other words, our Mishnah understands tsar as being endemic and inherent to ones and not circumstantial. We see another opinion of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai that says that ones does not pay the tsar. Why? That she's eventually going to have that same pain when she gets married in any case. So in other words, the assumption is the tsar is the tsar of first bia. It's not about being thrown on the ground. Amrulo in Odomini Valiponis Nivaliparotson. So their challenge to him was not about being thrown down, but the challenge to him simply was, you can't say that first Bia is always of equal pain if she's doing it out of her own interest, so she's willing to suffer a little bit of pain for that, but if she's being raped, she certainly doesn't. So you can't equate the two. So it cannot be the reason of being thrown down. Elam Rav Nachman, Aravua, Tsar shall pisuk waglaim. It's the Tsar that he pulled her legs apart. Chenu Omer, we have a pasuk in Yechezkel in that awful parak which compares Am Yisrael to a newborn young girl, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to her in the beginning, of course, very nice, but afterwards, the way she followed Avodah Zarah, Vatfaskiat Raglayach L'chol Over, you opened up your legs to everyone who passed by, basically a nafka, as we would call it, but in that model, Am Yisrael opened themselves up to every kind of Avodah Zarah that came. In any case, pisuk raglayim is the phrase that's used. Iachi mefuta nami, even a mefuta also open up her legs. Haravua mashal de mefuta lamada radome. A mefuta is like ladam shamal chaveru, crush your eye and shall be pater. Tear my clothes and you're pater. Meaning, since she was consenting, so whatever pain may have been caused, this is a pain that she was forgiving. But shali, in the analogy, it doesn't work. De avua ninu, she's a naara, so it's not really shirayin shala, it's the shalaviha. The wise women say that a mefuta doesn't have tsar. We see that she has. So meaning that she's going to get married in that first bia, so it's not tsar. There is pain. It's like hot water on a bald head. In other words, it's a tiny little bit of pain, which is that first bia, if it's done beratzon. Rav Amar Amrali Bat Rav Chi. Now Abaye quotes Aim, to remember, is his surrogate mother, meaning his nanny, because of course Abaye was born as a double orphan. Rav Amar Amrali Bat Rav Chista, Bat Rav Chista's daughter, which is Rav's wife, that he would always refer to her as Rav Chista's daughter, told him Kirivda de Chusilta. Right, it's like the incision made by a blood letter. It's actually a very apt analogy. And Rav Papa Amar Amrali Bat Abba Surah, which must have been his wife, Ki Nahama Akusha Debechinachi. It's like bread, hard bread scratching the inside of the mouth, the throat. In other words, saying, yes, the first bia is always painful, but the first bia, when it's done baratzon, is a very light pain. The woman's willing to accept it. But when it's rape, it's much more painful physically. That's the notion here. And as a result, that's where the tsar comes from. All right, that I think we sort of intuited when reading the Mishnah. Now, the second half of the Mishnah says, "Ha'ones noten miyad fatelech shiotzi." The second half of the Mishnah begins to detail the differences between the ones and mefateh. The ones has to pay immediately, and the mefateh only when he divorces. Lech shiotzi? Ishto? What do you mean? When divorcing her would imply that he married her, and he's never allowed to divorce her. So it doesn't mean when he divorces her, it means when he chooses not to marry her. Because after all, a mefate does not have to marry the girl. So if he says, okay, I'll marry the girl, he doesn't pay. He says, I won't marry the girl, then he pays. And we have a brayta that says it exactly that formulation, even though they said that a mefate pays. When he chooses not to marry her, notice, not when he divorces, when he chooses not to marry her, the other payments he has to give right away. And in both ones and mefateh, this is something they share in common, both the girl and the father, meaning either the girl or the father, can say, we're not interested in this marriage. Now, bishlamah mefuta, I understand why in the case of mefateh, the girl or the father can refuse. In the pasuk in Shmot, which is in the context of mefate, it says, if the father shall surely refuse to give her over, right? All I know is father, because if the father refuses, he atzmaminayin, how do I know that if she herself refuses, that it works? Tamalomram yima'ain. There's a ma'ain yima'ain. It uses a double phrase, not just to mean surely, but rather to say if he refuses and if she refuses. Mikol makom. Ela ones bishlamai hikti velotiyet. I understand why in the case of ones, if she doesn't want to marry him, she can say no. Because it says velotiyet leisha, he has to marry her. Lotiyet means midatat, it's rather regular kedushin, and she has to agree to it. And how do we know that her father, in the case of Ones, says, I don't want my girl to marry this man. Even if she wants to, he can still stop it. And the mitzvah doesn't apply. There is no mitzvah of marrying her. Abaye says very simply, we don't want a sinner to gain. In other words, let's say a guy very much wants to marry a girl, and the family's not going to give her over. And the girl doesn't know well enough, but the family knows that he's not good for her, so he goes and rapes her. And then he turns around and says, hey, there's a mitzvah to marry her, and father can't say no. So Abaye says, therefore, to make sure that a sinner won't be motivated to behave that way, the father also has the rights. Rava doesn't like that. He says, Amar kal v'chomer. He says there's a kal v'chomer that will demonstrate that the father can also refuse to have his daughter marry the ones. After all, in the case of Mefate, he just violated father's permission. In other words, the girl was willing. And both the father and the girl, either one of them could say, refuse. The ones who did worse, because he violated not only the father's permission, but also the girl's interest. He coerced her. Certainly, now the notion of Rava is that in a case of onus, which is worse, we're going to broaden the range of those who can refuse, to not just the girl, but the father. Rava lar makalai. So why didn't Rava like Abaye's notion of shelo yechita nischot nisgar? The answer is, kevin to come a shalim knas. After all, he has to pay the knas if he doesn't marry her. Lav chote nisgar hu. You can't say it's chote nisgar. And by the way, since in the case of onus, he's going to pay the knas immediately and then marry her, there's not chote niskar. It's not as if he's seeing a free opportunity. Abaye lo amar, so Abaye would argue that it's still chote niskar because he's willing to pay that money for a girl that otherwise wouldn't marry him. Abaye lo amar karava, so Abaye does not accept Rava's analysis. Why? Because it's mefata di umatz malkev. Take a look at the kal v'chomer. Rava's kal v'chomer is as follows. If in the case of onus, in the case of mefata, where the man only violated father's permission, which is a less heinous thing, nonetheless, either father or daughter can say no. That certainly in the case of onus, where he did a much more egregious thing, certainly either one of them could say no. Abaye says, you turn that upside down. Mefate di umatz ma'akev, in the case of mefate, where the father could say no, in the case of mefate, where the man, the seducer, could say no because he has a choice. Her father can also say no. In other words, just see it as being sort of symmetrical. In the case of Mefate, the man who did the action could say no, the father could say no, the girl could say no. Ones, but in the case of Ones, the rapist can't say no, he has to marry her. So maybe we're going to take everybody out of the action and say the girl is the only one who can have a say in this. All right, so Rava's Kalachomer does not necessarily stand. Not because the relationship of Kal and Chamur are not accurate, but because we could view the same information differently and say that you have a symmetrical relationship in the case of Mefata, where any of the parties could say no, but in the case of Ones, where the rapist can't say no, maybe the father also can't say no. Okay, Tanya Idach, we have a bright, it says, Al Pishamru Ones Noten Miyad, Shiotsi Hu Ein La Lav Klum. Even though we said an Ones has to pay immediately, when he divorces her, then she has no claim on him. Shiotsi, again, when he divorces her, Mimatsi Mafikla, he's not allowed to divorce her. Eimak Shetetse Hi Ein La Lav Klum. If she refuses, and when she says, I don't want to marry him, she has no claim. Let's say, on the other hand, the fellow dies before he marries her. So the knas that he pays, the 50 shekel, that counts as the ktubah. He disagrees and says, even though she got the knas, there's a case where he already married her. And then he dies. We don't say that she gets no ktubah. She gets a regular ktubah of an almanah, which is 100. Right, so now let's see why. Why do Rabbi Yosef Yehuda and the Rabbanan disagree about whether she gets a ketubah of 100 or nothing? Rabbanan Savitama might can Rabbanan ketubah. Why did Rabbanan generally create the ketubah? Kadesh lo te kala ben avlotzia. We've seen this many times. It's to make sure that a man won't divorce his wife on a whim because he's angry. He knows it'll cost him a lot. Literally, so it should not be easy in his eyes to get rid of her. Follow Matziv apikla, but in the case of Ones, he's not able to get rid of her. Right, so there is no reason to have a ketubah here. He's not allowed to get rid of her. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Savar, he says, Hanami Mitzayir La. He says, you know what? Think about it. If a guy has to pay the kness anyways, and he doesn't like the girl, what'll he do? He keep harassing her and keep making her life miserable. Ad Amra Hi Lo Bainalach, until she says, I don't want to marry the guy or I don't like the guy. Right? So therefore, put in the 100 zoos as a sort of a fail-safe to make sure that he doesn't deliberately act badly towards her, so she will choose to not be married to him. Now, Ones Shoteh Batzitzo. This was in the end of the first Mishnah that we had, that it says the Ones is forced to drink his own cup. I'm going to Rav Parzakel Rav Ashi. Remember, we learned Ones from a Fata, either like Rabbi Akiva, from Asher Lo Orasa, or like Rabbi Yosef Galili from Kemor HaBetulot. So we put the two parshiot together. So why don't we learn also for this purpose that the two are equal, meaning just like in the case of Ones, he must marry her, so in the case of Mfata, he must marry her. So the answer is Amakra. In the case of Mfata, it says Mahoryim Harenalisha. He should very speedily take her to him as a wife. So lo, just like we had, Velotielisha means her da'at. In the same way, Mahorim Haren Alo Lisha, instead of just Mahorim Haren Lisha, Lo means Midato, he has to agree to it. So the text explicitly in this allusion tells us that a Mefateh has to agree to marry her. Now, Ketzat Shoteh Batzitzo, the second Mishnah we had was, it gave the example of being stuck with her. I mentioned this in front of Rav Zvid, and I asked the following question. I mentioned this in the Mishnah. Why doesn't the asay of Veloti Elisha trump the lotase of Mamzeret or whatever it may be? He said, when do we say such a thing? And this is, of course, the sugi at the beginning of Yevamot. When do we say that the asay is docha lotasei? Non mila b'tzarat. A baby is born, they have tzarat on the makom hamila. So a classic example of asay docha lotasei. There is no way to do brit mila without cutting there. And the Torah said you can't cut it to tzarat. The asay of mila is docha the law of tzarat. So lefshe the kiyume lasay. There's no way to fulfill the asay without violating the law. Therefore, the asay is docha the law. Aval hacha, but in this case, he amra delo ba'in. If the girl says, I'm not interested, there is no assay. In other words, the assay of marrying the girl is only if the girl's willing. So since there's a way around it, which is for the girl not to be willing, therefore, if the girl's willing, but the Torah is not willing because the girl's a mamzeret, or he's a kohen, or she's a grusha, or something else, in that case, then there is no assay at all, and therefore he doesn't marry her. So in other words, the response to the question at this point would actually be, yeah, the assay should be docha velo tasei, but because there's another way not to fulfill the assay, but rather a way for the assay not to even get started, which is, theoretically, if she were to not be interested, therefore, even if she is interested, we ignore that, and we say there is no assay, and he doesn't marry her, because she's not ru'uya levo bakal. Now, the next Mishnah, which is Mishnah Va, very short, Yitomash nitar sabin kasha. Let's say I have an orphan girl, which means there's no father here, which throws the whole issue of knas into a new perspective. Let's say a yitoma nitar sabin kasha, which takes us back to the sugi we had last podcast, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Saglili. So you have an orphan who accepts a erusin and then is divorced. Rabbi Lazar mer han ones chayav fateh patur. Rabbi Lazar this is Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua, by the way. Rabbi Lazar omer ha'ones chayav mfateh patur. If somebody's ones her, then he has to pay knas. Of course, who gets the knas? She does. And if he's mfateh her, then she's patur. Why is she patur? We'll see in a minute. Amar Rachan Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua, b'shitat Rabbi Kiva Rabbo Amra. Let me explain why I'm making a big deal about the fact that it's Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua, because Rabbi Eliezer, the famous Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkonos, Rabbi Eliezer Agadol, he was a teacher of Rabbi Akiva. Here, Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Lazar b'shitat Rabbi Akiva Rabbo Amara. Rabbi Lazar is taking the approach of Rabbi Akiva, his Rebbe, which means this is a different Rabbi Lazar, and it's one of the famous Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua. He was following Rabbi Akiva, his own teacher's approach. Damar yesh la knasu knas alatzma. If you recall, in the last Mishnah that we had before this sugya, Rabbi Akiva said that if you have a girl, the father's alive, the girl was betrothed and then divorced, and now is a nara, she's raped, there is knas against Rabbi Yosef Galili, but she keeps the knas. Now, how do we know that the two connect? Imai b'diktani yitoma. After all, the Mishnah here talks about a yitoma. Rabbi Lazar mer ha'ones chayav fateh patur. So yitoma pshita. Obviously, if she's a yitoma, it's pshita that a yitoma, there's not going to be any payment of pitui, Because after all, there's no father as an interested party here, and the girl was obviously mochel because she agreed to it. So you don't need it for that. It's there to tell you that not only a real yitoma, an orphan, but there's another person who's not an orphan who has the halacha of yitoma. Who's that? Narashin darsavin kasha. It was Rabbi Kiva's halacha is ki yitoma. Ma yitoma le'atzma, narashin darsavin kasha le'atzma. Just like a yitoma, the money goes to her. Similarly, a na'ara, a regular girl, is not an orphan, but she had erusin and then was divorced. So the knas comes and it comes to her. Good. Now, by the way, parenthetically, you could then build off of that and say, well, then if that's the case, then Rabbi Akiva should say that in Arashin Darsav and Karsha, at least Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah should say that if it was Pitui and not Ones, there is no Kras because she was Mochel. And that's the idea, is that since the money's coming to her and she consented, she's Mochel the money, obviously. Amar 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 Rav Shila Amar Rav Hamnuna Sava Amar Rav Ana Barava Amar Rav. So the statement goes back to Rav. Halacha ke Rabbi Elazar. The halacha follows Rabbi Elazar of our Mishnah, who says that only in the case of Ones, an orphan, Yerchayav, but Mfatez Patur. Kari Rav, later Rabbi Elazar, and Rav also used to describe Rabbi Elazar as the following. Tuvina de Hakima, the greatest of the sages. He had great respect for him, and therefore, in this case, he says the halacha follows him. Alright, we'll pick up Mirtz Hashem in the next podcast on Daf Mem Amud Aleph on the Mishnah, Ezehu Boshet. Everyone should have a great day.